You're listening to episode 12 of the Sustainable Minimalists Podcast.
You are listening to the Sustainable Minimalists Podcast, a show about living simply and sustainably with your family. Here's your host, Stephanie Safarian.
Welcome to episode 12. Today, I am answering a listener's question, and it's a good question. But before I get into the question and my answer, I want to ask a quick favor of you. There's a big difference between topics I think are interesting and neat versus what you, the listeners, actually want to hear about. So I created a very quick survey as an attempt to bridge that gap. Now, I've begun thinking about my spring programming, and I truly want to make this podcast as helpful as possible for my listeners. And I know that your time is important. Nobody ever has enough time, right? So the survey is short. It's only 3 questions, and I timed myself taking it. I promise you, from first click to submit, it will only take you 60 seconds. 60 seconds that will help me help you immensely. Thank you in advance. Now, I will link to the survey in the show notes, mamaminimalist.com/012. Let's jump right into today's listener question. And I'm going to read you a part of the letter because when it arrived in my inbox, I thought, wow, I bet most of us can relate. So here we go. I have a 2-year-old and another on the way. I'm overwhelmed with the sheer amount of stuff my toddler needs, and I wonder how we will fit another child and all of his stuff into my already overflowing house. I feel like the majority of my free time is spent walking from room to room, picking up toys and clothes. I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed out. Is it possible to be a minimalist with children? Is there a way to stay ahead of the clutter and mess that I'm missing? Signed, Nancy from Pittsburgh. Well, Nancy, the first thing I want to say is I understand you. I struggle with this too. In my house, we have 2 adults, 2 children, 2 cats, and a dog. So the 7 of us with our gear and our toys and our clothes, it would all overflow our home if I let it. So I feel you. So what I hear you saying is that you want to maintain your minimalist principles, but you feel as though you can't because of kids. And you wonder, is it possible to be a minimalist with kids? I have a short answer for you, and I have the long answer. The short answer is yes, it is absolutely possible to be a minimalist with kids. The long answer is yes, it's absolutely possible. And here are the strategies that I implement in my house to make sure minimalism and simplicity are central tenets in the way my husband and I raise our children. Now, the long answer is long. I have 11 strategies for you, but they're 11 strategies that I know work. So let's jump right in. The biggest threat to minimalism when you have children is presents. Kids just get presents for being cute. They get them around the holidays, of course, and at their birthdays, of course, but they also get them from relatives because they haven't seen them in a while, or because it's 4th of July, there's presents for that now. Gifts just flock to your children. And so strategy number 1 is to establish a gifting strategy with your close friends and relatives and stick to it. So encourage your friends and family to give your children toy-free gifts whenever possible. I have a whole list of toy-free gift ideas in the show notes, but even though you can't tell others what to purchase your kids, you can highly suggest some options. And if your well-meaning friends and family choose to give toys over experience gifts, know that you are the gatekeeper of your own home. You get to decide what comes in and what stays. If you're interested in learning more about how to gently and politely lay down the law with regards to gifts at your child's birthday, check out episode 8 of this podcast, where I give you all the details on how to host a present-free birthday for your child. Now, when it comes to you gifting your child, it's, again, very easy to go overboard. No mother and no father want their child to be deprived. So I suggest you establish a gifting strategy for yourself, just like you would for the friends and family who gift your children's stuff. And the strategy my husband and I use when it comes to giving presents to our own kids is the want, wear, need, do, share, read strategy. So it's 6 presents that my child gets around the holidays. And it's very simple. Obviously, the want gift is a gift that attempts to satisfy my daughter's greatest want, right? So what is the thing that they really, really want for Christmas or for their birthday? Then wear is a wearable gift. Something they need is a gift that satisfies a need for the child. The do gift is an experiential gift, usually in which the whole family can participate in with the goal of creating some lasting memories by doing something together. The share gift is a gift that everyone in the family can enjoy. For my daughter's birthday this year, we bought her some of those magnetic tiles, which she loves. My one-year-old also loves, and my husband and I secretly play with when the kids go to bed. They're just that cool. And finally, the read gift is obviously a book or a magazine. So 6 gifts. Now, Nancy, your children are young, so you could very easily begin this strategy and keep it going throughout their childhoods without fuss. It's a little harder to rein it in with older kids who are used to getting mounds of presents at their birthdays and holidays, but consider it. So strategy 1, establish a gifting strategy. Strategy 2, now this is a simple one, right? Utilize your community library. Now you may be thinking to yourself, duh, Stephanie, library, of course, but it's really amazing how quickly bookshelves can be filled. So instead of buying books, visit the library instead and make it a weekly habit by scheduling your trip on a recurring basis in your calendar. This ensures that your children are never without books, but they're returnable, so they're not adding clutter to your home. Strategy 3. It is to create capsule wardrobes for your children. If you're interested in capsule wardrobes, be sure to check out episode 6 of this podcast. I go into great detail about how to create a capsule wardrobe for your kid. I have a free printable that goes along with it. So I'm not going to outline a capsule wardrobe again. You can just listen to that episode if you're interested. Capsule wardrobes are all the rage for adults for a reason. It's because they simplify closets and they simplify laundry. So I don't know how it works. I've thought about it, right? Just because you have less clothes doesn't necessarily mean you would have less laundry. Your children and you still need to wear the same amount of outfits to be dressed every day. But just trust me, somehow less clothes means less laundry. Basically, a capsule wardrobe is you pare down your children's clothes and you just choose essential items that don't go out of fashion that can be augmented with seasonal pieces. Generally, for creating capsule wardrobes for adults, you spend a bit more and you buy quality items that will last. And again, in episode 6, I have a blueprint that will make capsule wardrobe creation easy peasy. Strategy 4 is to pay it forward. Now, Nancy, in your letter, you didn't mention whether your first child is a girl or a boy, but you did mention that your upcoming addition is a boy. So if your first child is also a boy, I suggest you keep all the gear and all the clothes from your firstborn so that you can reuse it with your secondborn. I see absolutely no sense in getting rid of your first child's stuff only to get it back with the second. That's not sustainable, and it's not smart or frugal either. I will agree that keeping stuff for a next child does create clutter, but just know that that clutter is temporary. Once your second child is done with it, you can then pay it forward, strategy four, by donating it. Now, this doesn't just have to do with clothes. It's also toys and it's also gear. Keep a few sentimental items. I kept the little pink onesie with polar bears that both my daughters wore home from the hospital when they were born. I also keep the wooden toys that my daughters enjoy because wood is generally of much higher quality than plastic. But everything else, I donate. For you, Nancy, I suggest you make donating a continuous thing. So make a donations bin, which is really just a box in your basement, a staple in your house so that everyone in your family is encouraged to fill the box with no longer needed items. The donations bin is always there. So there's always an opportunity for items to leave your home the second they're no longer needed. Strategy number five. Oh, this is such a good one. Start a toy swap with your best mom friends. Once you start toy swapping, you'll wonder why you didn't start it sooner. It's so easy, and it's especially easy because I've created everything you need to host your first successful toy swap in the show notes. It's a printable where you write down your four mom friends' names, and so you know who gets toys when. It couldn't be easier. But first of all, why? Why would you swap toys with your mom friends? Well, that's easy. It's so your child constantly has engaging toys to play with without you having to run to the store to buy them. Now, basically, all you do in a toy swap is you choose four friends and you choose five of your child's toys. Now, your child will get his or her toys back at the end of the swap, but you take those five toys, you put them in a box, and you swap them on week increments with your four mom friends. So on week one, you get five new toys. Then you take those toys and you pass them along to the second mom in the group, and so on until after a month, every child receives his or her original toys back. This is genius. Again, I'll reiterate, it is not hard. So try it out. Try a toy swap with your mom friends and report back. Let me know how it goes. You can find everything you need to host a toy swap in the show notes. mamaminimalist.com/012. mamaminimalist.com/012. Strategy number six for staying minimalist with kids is a strategy that minimalists without kids often follow. It's a staple of minimalism, and it's to invest in quality. So, Nancy, the time is going to come when you need to buy something for one of your children. And I suggest that you purchase quality. The sad truth is that cheap gear doesn't last. And if you're planning on using this item that you're about to purchase for your second child, you'll probably find yourself replacing the cheap stuff well before you're ever able to reuse it with your second child. So, consider buying secondhand but quality items first. And if you do decide to buy new, be an informed consumer. Do your research, read reviews, inquire about warranties, and get okay with the idea of spending a little more for something that's made to last. Strategy number seven is all about dealing with your child's artwork and school papers. Now, Nancy, in your letter, you didn't mention whether your two-year-old is in daycare or in preschool, but the time is going to come when that two-year-old is creating artwork at an alarming rate. And it may feel as though you are drowning in the artwork. Now, this may sound harsh, but just stay with me. Don't keep your child's artwork. Create photo collages of the artwork instead. My four-year-old creates hundreds of pieces of art every month. That's not hyperbole. I actually counted last month. And on top of that, she's in preschool, so she's bringing home worksheets and papers almost daily. In my house, we've gotten into the habit of hanging up the best pieces of art for a few weeks on one of the doors. And then after a few weeks, I take photos with my cell phone of each piece of art. And then I use free collage software to mesh them all together. So in one JPEG, I have 6 to 10 pieces of her artwork. Then I take that photo and I put it in our end of the year photo album. So this way, I'm keeping the art and I'm ditching the paper clutter. Win-win. Moving right along to strategy 8, invest in experiences instead of stuff. Now, it's easy to say that, right? Oh, invest in experiences, go on vacations. But it's much harder to put that into practice. So I'll tell you what my family did last Christmas. We had looked at the Christmas before, my husband and I, and we had a general ballpark figure of what we spent on gifts for my daughter. And it was outlandish. She was 2 at the time. We went so overboard and just, it was almost embarrassing. So the following year, we halved that number. And we spent half of that money on gifts for her. And the other half we put towards a family vacation. And in the month of December, while everybody else was stressed out with Christmas, we went to Florida for 8 days and we had the best time. We told my daughter ahead of time that Christmas was going to be smaller, but instead we were spending time together as a family on vacation. And it was such a success. We will definitely be doing it next year. Now, how can you get in this habit? It's not as hard as you might think. Easter is coming up. If you celebrate Easter and were planning on getting your child or children an Easter basket, consider taking half of what you were planning to spend and putting it in a jar. Make that jar especially for family experiences. And it doesn't have to be an 8-day vacation either. It could be a trip to the aquarium. But it is amazing how quickly that jar fills up with enough money to do something pretty cool. Strategies 9 and 10 go hand in hand. They are to establish toy boundaries and to check junk culture at the door. So when it comes to establishing toy boundaries for your children, you have to determine what works for your family. Every family is different, but here are some ideas. Idea 1, give each child a bin, and at the start of the week, direct them to choose 5 toys to play with for the entire week. So books and coloring books and crayons and markers don't count as toys, and bring those bins up to the main floor. Now, this strategy makes cleanup a breeze, because your child really only has 5 things to pick up. Easy peasy. And of course, it goes without saying that multiple children may, of course, play with siblings' toys. So if you have 3 children, for example, your children each have 15 items to play with, not including books and coloring supplies. So that's one suggestion. Another suggestion is to give each child a treasure chest for their favorite toys, and they can only keep what fits inside the chest. If all their items don't fit, it's time for them, with your help, to reevaluate its contents. And suggestion number 3 is to rotate toys by routinely placing some out of sight and then reintroducing them later. This strategy works well with young children. So Nancy, I can definitely see this working well with your 2-year-old. Take some toys out of wherever your child plays and store them out of sight. When your child gets bored, take some of the ones they've been playing with for a while out and replace them with something they haven't seen in a while. Now, strategy 10, check junk culture at the door, goes hand in hand with this. What is junk culture? Junk culture is toys that are made up from cheap plastic that promote gendered or violent themes, and it's everywhere. Learn to recognize it when you see it. Instead of purchasing, obviously invest in quality toys meant to last. And if it somehow makes its way into your house, check it at the door. Again, you are the gatekeeper of your own home. Just don't let it in. The result over time is quality toys over junk. Our final strategy, strategy 11, is to instill minimalist principles as your children grow. What that really means is to make minimalism a part of your home. Have frank conversations early and often with your children about the differences between needing an item and just wanting an item. Lead by example. Set the precedent that, quote, in this family, you do things differently than perhaps some other families in your community. And finally, remain consistent in your gift-giving strategy. If you purchase 6 gifts for your children one birthday and then the next year go all out, your children will be confused. Similarly, if you establish toy boundaries, such as giving each child the treasure chest, for example, and then a month later decide to rotate toys, your children will be confused. So whatever strategies you decide work for your family and whichever strategies you choose to implement, be sure you stick with them and remain consistent. All right, Nancy, I told you my long answer was long. I will very quickly recap the suggestions I have for you in hopes that you can maintain a minimalist lifestyle as your family grows. Number one, establish a gifting strategy. Create capsule wardrobes for your children and maybe even for yourself. Utilize your community library. Start a toy swap with your mom friends. Pay it forward by consistently donating. Invest in quality items. Create photo collages of your children's artwork. Instill minimalist principles as your children grow. Invest in experiences over stuff. And establish toy boundaries and check junk culture at the door. I have so much good stuff for you in the show notes this week. I have toy-free gift ideas. I have links to capsule wardrobe blueprints. I have everything you need to create a successful toy swap with your mom friends. So come join me, mamaminimalist.com/012, mamaminimalist.com/012. All these resources are free. A quick reminder about my little 3-question survey. I would so appreciate if you took it. It's 3 questions, 60 seconds. Thank you in advance. And also a big thank you to everybody who's left me such wonderful iTunes reviews. If you haven't left me an iTunes review yet, but you are enjoying what you hear, I would so appreciate a quick review so that I can reach more listeners. Thank you so much. I will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.